Welcome to this regular meeting of Orville City Council on September 18th, 2023. We'll begin this evening in prayer with Pastor Paul Simonson from the Orville CNMA Church.
Father, we thank you for this city that you've given to us, a place where we live and work. We're thankful, Lord, for the safety and freedom you've given us through this city. We often take for granted the safety and freedom that we have. Thankful for each one who is here, the ones who undertake the business of this city week after week, month after month. Pray, Lord, that you would give them wisdom and courage to do what is best for this city, and what is what also bring honor to you as well. We're grateful to place this evening in your care, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks,
Pastor. The clerk, could please call the roll.
Hamburg.
Here.
Espiris.
Here.
Shanklin.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Carr.
Here.
Mosley.
Here.
Squirrel.
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Council should have received a copy of the meeting minutes from the September 5th regular meeting. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
A motion.
Mosley moves.
A second.
Larson seconds.
Espiris.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Squirrel.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
All ayes. Motion passes.
Thank you. No one signed up for public comment this evening, so we'll move on in our agenda to our standing committee reports, and we'll begin with our Parks and Recreation Committee. Mr. Hamburg.
Thank you, Mr. President. Parks and Rec has not met, therefore I have no report.
All right. Thank you, sir. Our Utilities Committee, Mr. Shanklin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Utilities Committee has not met, therefore I have no report, but I do have some good news that came out of one of the utility meetings, and that is for the rest of the year, the rates should stay the same.
Thank you. Our Ordinance and Personnel Committee, Mr. Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Ordinance and Personnel has not met. However, I do have an issue that falls under my purview, I guess. We had a procedural hiccup at the last meeting where President Pro Tem was named, and that came from the President. It actually has to come from an act of council. So I couldn't be more pleased with your pick, Mr. President. I nominate Rick Espiris as President Pro Tem of this council.
I second.
Second, Ms. Carr.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Squirrel.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Espiris.
Abstain.
Do that right?
I think so.
Okay, you allow it.
Motion passes.
All right.
Congratulations.
And that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Our Transportation Committee, Mr. Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. President. Transportation Committee has not met. However, I do have a couple of things to share. One, I have a meeting with Abby, our staff engineer, this Wednesday. And we'll be obviously looking more into Resolution 3023. In reference to our 2024 streets master plan. I'm looking to if council is comfortable passing resolution 30 and 23 this evening. It gives administration authority to apply for a $500,000 OPWC grant, which is something that we've been successful with so far these previous years, and it really helps impact our streets budget, so allows us to get things done. I'm looking to have a council committee meeting Monday the 25th at 7 p.m. To go over this master plan and lay everything out financially, if that works for everyone.
I think so.
That's okay.
Okay. Very good. Monday the 25th at 7 p.m. or I assume to say that it's 7 p.m.
as
well. Okay.
Yes. With that, I have nothing else, Mr. President. Thank you.
Thank you. Our Health and Safety Committee, Mr. Espiris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Health and Safety did meet. We met on September 11th to discuss two issues, the first of which was the ladder truck purchase. That's tied to Resolution 2923, which will be on second reading tonight. Just a brief overview, we talked price, financing, and the big thing here was the producer price index, and that was something that, until we got some more answers on, we were going to kind of take a wait-and-see approach. I have much more that I can talk on when we get to the legislation, but this one is likely going to need to go to a third reading. The second issue was a staffing issue that we've really been dealing with for a long time now, caused from the increased call volumes, mainly EMS, and mainly between 5A and 5P. We discussed three different phases, with the first phase being tied to legislation 3223, which is on first reading tonight. And again, I have much more I can maybe add to that once we get to those.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Our planning committee, Ms. Carr.
Thank you, Mr. President. The planning committee has not met, therefore I have no report.
Thank you. And the finance committee, Ms. Squirrel.
Thank you, Mr. President. The finance committee has not met, so I have no report to share.
Thank you very much. We have no special committee reports for this evening, so we'll move on to our administrative reports, and we'll begin with Mayor Hamblin.
Thank you, Mr. President. We'd just like to mention that we're all saddened by the news this past week of the passing of our longtime former fire chief, Bob Valentine. Certainly he's had a rough battle with cancer for 3 years or more, so very sad to see that happen. So prayers go out to Linda and all of the Valentine family to help them get through this. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Our Safety Service Director, Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I echo the mayor with lots of prayers for the Valentine family. He was a great chief, but also a great guy, great human, and loved to teach young people about becoming fire people and EMS. So he will definitely be missed. Trick or treat. Speaking of kids, trick or treat will be Friday, Tuesday, October 31st from 6 to 8 p.m. Please turn on your porch light if you wish to participate. The service department is continuing their work. They're currently getting ready to crack seal, which is a pretty major job for them every fall. They are still working on the pickleball court lights. We are waiting on a few parts for that. It's still definitely on the top of the list to get done here soon. And that's my report for this evening.
Good. This one I was raising, I had the line, I know we paint lines on the streets every once in a while. I just noticed there at that intersection at Taco Bell, the lines are pretty dim right there, pretty faded.
So we are actually waiting to do Main Street and Crown Hill because we're still waiting on that ODOT grant to be approved, and there's quite a bit of money there with and that's all for road painting. So it's definitely on the radar. We're just waiting to get that approval from ODOT so we can move forward.
That's also included a bunch of High Street, right?
Lots of the major corridors. Yeah, Main High as well as Crown Hill, right. And Market as well.
Any questions or comments? All right, we'll move on then to our Utilities Director, Mr. Brediger.
Just one reminder, I spoke at the last City Council meeting about the city's natural gas aggregation program. We've received a few calls from some customers asking for a little bit of clarity for that. I checked the prices again today, and they're still in at $3.50 to $4.50. An MCF range fixed for a year for those that are interested in looking at making the change. Our rate that goes through October 2024 is at $6.61. And to give you some kind of ballpark idea there, a typical household uses between 70 and 90 MCF a year. So if you can save a dollar in MCF, you might save 70 to 90 bucks a year, $2, double that, just to give a general idea. One thing that you just have to pay attention to, if you do change suppliers, if you want to move back to the city aggregation program next year when we get a refresh on prices, if it's economical, you do have to notify your current supplier, and if you don't, they'll automatically enroll you. So read your fine print when you if you do switch in there. It sounds complicated, but it's not. But if for many of our customers that have been involved in that natural gas aggregation program, where if you don't switch it automatically renews with them year after year after year. Most customers have been in that program without any changes for years, and it's kind of like a no-brainer there. But if you do switch suppliers, it is incumbent on you to pay attention to the time that that those contracts expire, and most of those suppliers within a certain time period, if you don't advise them that you are going to drop them, they will automatically re-enroll you for another year, and that's where those penalties and switching fees may come into play. So just a little word of caution for those that are out there considering that. And again, if any of our customers have any questions regarding the program, feel free to give our utility office a call, and we'll talk you through any questions you may have on there. That's all I have tonight, sir. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We'll move on then to our finance director, Ms. Strumler.
Thank you, Mr. President. The only item I have this evening is the August 2023 fund balance report. If you have any questions after reviewing it, feel free to give me a call. In the meantime, though, I just need a motion to approve the report subject to audit.
I move to approve that report subject to audit.
Larson moves, and Shanklin seconds.
Larson?
Yes.
Parr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Handwerk?
Yes.
Ms. Bears?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Thank you. And our law director, Mrs. Kirkbride.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have no report this evening.
Thank you. I have no report this evening, so we can move on then, Mr. Larson, to old business.
Thank you, Mr. President. Resolution 2923, I move this resolution be placed on second reading.
Shanklin seconds.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hanford?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 2923, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into an agreement and or agreements with Atlantic Emergency Solutions Incorporated to purchase through Sourcewell Cooperative Purchasing Program a Pierce 100-foot tower ladder truck with enforcer cab and aluminum body and declaring an emergency.
Thank you. Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. This was obviously one of the main topics in the committee meeting. We are proposing to replace our 2000 American One France ladder truck. There are some discounts available if we purchase it fairly quickly. We have been working with bond counsel. They have are still working on the legislation, so that hopefully will be before you at the next council meeting. So with that being said, and knowing that we can't move forward until that legislation is completed, we are okay moving forward with a third reading on the truck as well. And we, the company will honor the discount, and so everything is still on par on that as well. We have asked for additional clarification as well from the, Pierce in regards to the PPI, which was one of the components of the contract, which obviously we didn't love. So we're still working on that as well, so that'll give us a little time on that as well. And also, we have been working with them on some of the contract details, including the performance bond, to ensure that there's some sort of guarantee that the truck will be provided on, we paid up front. So a couple of things we're still working on, so I think the couple additional weeks will be beneficial for us to get some clarification on some key items.
Questions or discussion? Yes, Mr. Spears.
Thank you, Mr. President. And you hit on pretty much most of it. Can I just add maybe a few things?
Sure.
And this is really from that committee meeting. So the price that we were looking at was right around $2.2 million. And I believe November was when we would see another increase. Is that correct? And I think the number we were looking at is right around 1.7%. That's what we've historically been seeing for the increase on each quarter. That's about just under $40,000. And that's no guarantee either that we would be at that rate. It could be a little higher, it could be a little lower. So that's where Director Wheeler is saying, as long as, you know, maybe we got everything in order by our third reading in October, we should still be okay. Still should be eligible for the $200,000 discount we had talked about in the committee meeting as well. And still looking at, I would assume, the 10-year loan to fund it with a rate somewhere in the mid-fours to high-fours as of right now, which is the market rate. Don't think I'm missing anything there, but just like Director Bueller, I'm not to take any questions, and I know Chief is here as well if we have any questions.
Mr. President?
Yes, Mr. Hamer.
Could I also, I'd like to bring up the ordering time, right? So if we place the order right now, what would be the earliest we think we might see that truck come in?
We would expect it to come in by mid to late 2027, early 2027 to mid 2027.
So roughly 4 years?
Yeah, like 3 years and 9 months.
From placing the order.
Mr. Orson.
And our existing truck is 21 years old now?
It's actually 23 years old, and we'll be 27 when we finish.
Yes, Mr. Spears.
Just one more thing that I happen to have stumbled across. No, I shouldn't say stumbled across, but noticed when I was going through some of the numbers. Unless I'm missing something or mistaken, this should be our last real big purchase with the fire apparatus for quite a while, unless something were to go wrong. I mean, the schedule that Chief had laid out, you know, we've had it. Few big ones in a row, and this should be the last of the real big ones.
Good point. Mr. Spears. Hearing nothing else, we can move on to new business.
New business. Okay. Resolution 3023. I move this resolution to be placed on first reading.
Second. Mosley seconds.
Mosley.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Squirrel.
Yes.
Handler.
Yes.
Spears.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 3023, a resolution authorizing the Safety Service Director to prepare and submit an application to participate in the Ohio Public Works Commission State Capital Improvement Program for grant or loan funds and or agreements as required to obtain said funds and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. As Mr. Mosley mentioned, this is just approval for us to apply for the grant. We are proposing to do Bell from High to Market, McGill from Pine to Paradise, and Washington from High to Church. These currently are the three streets with the worst pavement condition rating or PCR rating in the city. They are in the 60s, which is still a pretty solid street, which I think is a testament to the amount of road work we've been able to get done. The grant application is for $500,000. The engineer estimate, our own engineer, by the way, is $1.1 million. So we do anticipate, if we're able to get the grant, $600,000 in cost share from the city capital fund. Be glad to answer any questions. We usually hear about this grant in early spring, and of course we're not able to officially award a bid till July 1st, which is always why, if we're fortunate to get the grant, that we can't start the work until after July 1st.
Yes, Mr. Hamer.
In your opinion, is there any reason why we should not pursue this grant?
This grant is a no-brainer grant in regards to I think every city in the state of Ohio applies for this grant. It's a great grant. We've been doing it a number of years. Kristen has been very successful at this grant application. And there really isn't any negative at all to apply.
Mr. Mosley.
Just add a little bit to that. Pretty much this OPWC grant is the reason why we're somewhat caught up with our streets and the situation where we are. I think last year was a year that we was not approved. They actually came back and gave us half of what we applied for. So when we look at our PCR, as I've said in the past, there's a time where we're looking at our PCR rating, and the average street was around 40 to 50. And it's literally, we're blessed to be working on 60, PCRs, and if we could continue to get this grant and write it out until it evaporates from the state level, I highly recommend we keep going after it. So definitely is very beneficial heavy for us as not out there.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Keeping in mind it's not guaranteed either, though. Yep. Just because we apply for it does not mean we'll always get it. Yep. We have been lucky over the years, but it's possible that we won't.
Yep. And if we don't get it, then also we have a $600,000 budget. That's where we'll go back to that finance lady right there and try to figure out what we could do and what we need to cut and adjust.
We'll make sure to tax the new mayor with sending them a Christmas card. Keep in their good graces.
Absolutely.
All right, very good. Anything else?
As Mr. Wheeler says, this is a no-brainer grant application, and I agree with Mr. Mosley as well. It's phenomenal that our streets are in the conditions that they're in, and that is because we pursued this grant again and again and again over the years. So we're in a good spot, and as everyone's in agreement, I think we should keep on going with it. I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second.
Second, Carr.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
I move resolution 30-23 be adopted as read.
Second.
Second, Squirrel.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 31-23. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Mr. Hamburg.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 31-23, a resolution authorizing the Board of Control to enter into a contract and or contracts without bidding for professional landscape architectural services for Depot Park in the city of Orrville.
Is Depot Park a thing now?
That's a name I think Kristen went with. Obviously, when you're applying for grants and those kind of things, you kind of have to name everything. Gateway Park, I think, came about in a similar fashion, I don't know if that's the name necessarily, so this resolution would allow us to enter into a contract with Edge Consultants. Edge Consultants is also the consultant we utilize on the park plan. I think we talked about this at a prior committee meeting as well, that the depot area, we received a grant some work at the depot area, some green space and conversion of parking to across the street and potentially a stage and just a variety of things that will make it a really neat site in the future. Edge Consultants, we've asked to kind of give us a proposal for them to kind of run with that, work on the design, meet with the public, downtown owners, council, kind of get our vision for what we want that to look like. It is most likely multiple phases, to be honest, but we do need to at least complete the first phase next year in order to utilize the $250,000 that we were able to receive from the state and grant funds. So they kind of run with it, get us laid out for not only this phase, but for future phases, work with the public downtown owners and council as well as administration on the vision for that site, and also get us ready to bid as well for the spring. So this was budgeted for in the capital budget. Their proposal is less than what is budgeted, so it's always a good thing. So I would ask for approval. It doesn't necessarily have to be tonight, but obviously the sooner we give the okay, the sooner we move forward. So.
Yes, Mr. Orson.
I'd like to say too that, you know, in working with Edge in the past, they've been outstanding. We worked with them on the park plan, and I think what I really appreciated most was their the way they sought public input in every way they could, actually. And I'd also like to add too that the Depot Park thing, that was focus grouped. Beer Alley Park lost. Humor aside, I think that it would be great to get this thing rolling. As Mr. Wheeler says, it's budgeted. And it's something that we planned on and hope to get moving on as quickly as possible. I move the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Edward, seconds.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr? Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparagus?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
I move resolution 3223 be adopted as read. Oh, I'm sorry, 3123. Second.
Second, Mosley.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparagus?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Now on to resolution 3223. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second.
Second, Asparagus.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparagus?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
All ayes, motion passes.
Resolution 3223, a resolution establishing rates of pay for the members of the Fire Department of the City of Oroville, on-call pay, and call-in, repealing conflicting ordinances, and declaring an emergency.
Mr. Wheeler.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would hand this off to our Human Resource Manager, Phil McMahon.
All right, so as everybody's aware, the world's changing really rapidly and has changed significantly since 1855. And in 1855, the city of Oroville developed the Monitor Fire Company that was a volunteer fire service. And we have been doing business with our fire and EMS in the same method since 1855 that we are today. Obviously, we have things that beep now. But really, we've been staffing and depending on that style of service for over 170 years. And if you listen out the window, you hear sirens, you hear things going on all the time, you watch the news, you know that the need for emergency personnel is growing faster than it ever has. And with an aging population, I don't see that changing anytime soon. A couple other things have changed fairly drastically. Our workforce within the fire department is aging. The number of people who are willing to volunteer and step up and become volunteer firefighters is dwindling rapidly. And to count on these same people to continue to make calls at this rate is unreasonable, and really it's just not logical. Secondly, we have increasing calls coming in every year. If you've got guys have been watching, I think when this administration came in 2009, we were somewhere around the 600 to 700 calls per year, and we have been steadily breaking records every year for at least the last five or six, and I think we're up to over 1,200 calls per year over the last 3 years. So when you look at those combinations of things, you start to see an alarming problem coming to the surface. And then finally, the other thing that has changed is very few, if any, employers in our community allow employees to get a page, get a beeper call, and leave their work site. Where for decades, well, clearly over a century, if you were working your press and a fire call came in, you could close your press down and leave and go respond to a fire. And we just don't have that luxury anymore, and it makes sense. You understand why. But that doesn't solve the problem. So about a year and a half ago, Mr. Wheeler, Ms. Strimlin, Mayor Handwerk, Councilperson Aspiris, and I started meeting with Chief Bishop on how do we go about fixing this situation. And at the time, we kind of thought, well, okay, this would probably be a 2 to 3 year process before we would have to come to council with any kind of resolution. This summer, however, we were getting to the place where really the chief and assistant chief were the only ones responding to calls some nights. And that's after responding all day long as well. And the case for moving this process up became very apparent and very necessary. So I am here tonight to present legislation to make a radical change in the way Oroville has gone about this process. So in the committee meeting last week, we kind of laid this all out, but just to brief everybody and anyone listening at home on what our plan is and how we came upon it, we're going to be breaking this down into three phases. So the first phase, if we pass the legislation this evening, will be retroactive back to September 1st. And that is because as of September 1st, we started posting 12-hour day shifts and 12-hour night shifts and asking our volunteer firefighters, instead of just responding to their pages or their phones, to actually sign up for a shift and work that shift and take full responsibility for making the calls, considering EMS only, during that shift that they've signed up. And so far, 3 weeks into it, we're getting a lot of praise back from the employees. They like the certainty of having a shift to sign up for. They know that when they respond to a call, they're going to have a full truckload of people serving with them. And they also know when their days off are. And so it's working out really well for them. So the details of phase one. For the first 6 months, we were going to classify these employees as seasonal employees. According to FLSA, we are allowed to do this, and what that allows us is actually extreme flexibility in how we staff these, in the number of hours they're allowed to work, how we pay benefits, and it gives us a little bit more time to figure out what the long-term plan looks like, which we have a pretty good idea of as well. But in the meantime, they have committed to working with us while we commit to working with them to make this work. But it also gives us a little more confidence knowing that we're going to be able to serve our community when it comes to EMS calls. Being that they are seasonal employees, you can only classify seasonal employees for up to 180 days. So that means the clock starts ticking. As of September 1st, being that this is retroactive, by the end of February, we will need to have a long-term plan for this, and that's phase two. And phase two will probably last an indefinite period. With phase two, we are going from a seasonal or a temporary workforce to a permanent part-time workforce. And in order to do that, we need to be able to ask these guys to commit to, or gals, if that were to happen, these firefighters, these paramedics, to commit to really making this, if possible, their job. We are going from a volunteer organization to an employment organization. And by doing that, we will have a benefit package that will go with that. We will have a leave package that will go with that. We will have to abide at that time by the FLSA, that's the Fair Labor Standards Act, laws with regard to overtime, schedules, and the like. That period is really kind of indefinite. What qualifies a full-time employee from a part-time employee as a charter city is basically in the state of Ohio when we say they are now full-time. But we're going to really move forward as if they were really full-time hours. They will have a set schedule, they will have a set amount of benefits, and they will have a very defined pay structure. And then finally, phase three is really when we move to the place of calling them a full-time fire department. And we really don't know what that looks like yet, and we don't know when that's going to happen. To make that happen, we're going to need living quarters. We're going to need to secure the financing options for staffing that type of department for, well, really, as long as we're probably an incorporated city. That's the long game. So that's the phases. That's how we plan to do this. The legislation that I bring you tonight really just gives us the opportunity to get this project started with the seasonal workforce. What we did in the legislation is pretty simple. It's just a pay legislation. It establishes the wages for our firefighters and EMT professionals based on their certifications. And it also allows us on-call pay. So as I mentioned, when we start phase one, we're going to be working 12-hour day shifts, and we're going to be asking those guys to be in the station working those shifts. However, if they work in town and they are available to respond to all the calls on the shift that they signed up for, we will permit them to stay at their home, but we're not going to pay them an hourly rate to be at home. We're going to give them a $25 stipend, and then they will be paid for their time on calls when they respond to them. When they respond to a call, and that will be Section 3 in the legislation, they will earn a minimum of 2 hours worth of their pay. So they make a call, and it's something as simple as a lift assist. Somebody has fallen in their bathroom, they press the button, and they can't get up, right? And they go, and they help that person up, and they just want to really get over to their lazy boy. It takes them 20 minutes to make that call. Because they've come in, we're going to pay them for 2 hours' work. That means that the chief or whoever the officer in charge at that time is can ask them to perform 2 hours of work while they're there. So cleaning the trucks down, washing hoses, cleaning up the station, should the officers choose to do that. However, regardless of how that works out, they'll pay for a minimum of 2 hours for the on-call. So that's how the day shift works. Then the night shift is going to be 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. We don't expect those employees to sign up to be on station at all. If they sign up, what they're committing to is that they will make all the calls during that shift. And similar to the daytime shift, they will earn a $25 stipend if they are not on site, and then they will receive a minimum on-call pay for any calls that they respond to. That's what we're doing tonight. I think, unless Councilperson Asparis has anything to add to that, I think that covers most of it.
The only thing I would have, you hit pretty much everything that I was going to maybe say, would be just the number amount. We had talked about $140,000 for this phase one. Is that still correct and current?
Yeah, so based on the numbers that we ran in their high, Mr. Wheeler and I are estimating around $135,000. And the good news is we have that sitting really available in two different accounts. One is the EMS funds, which we are allowed to use for wages, which really this is what this is about. And then also the, help me out, Steve, the fire department's wage budget still has wages allowed in it. So that is paid for 2023. Obviously, this is going to extend into 2024. Those two funds also cover the balance for 2024. And no one's kicking me yet, so I think I got that right. Which, the good news is, we don't have to go find money yet.
Right.
But we know that we can cover this for 2 to 3 years as set up like this. I want to point out just a couple things also as far as the wages go. The way that we established the wages was we surveyed most of our local townships and then most of the municipalities in Wayne, Holmes, Stark, and Summit counties. And similar to our workforce, both on the labor side and our police, the happy spot for the city of Oroville has always been right around the 80th percentile. We don't need to be the most expensive because we're a good place to work. People come here and they don't stay here because they make $1 million. They stay here because Oroville's a great place to work. However, it is a nice way to retain, or excuse me, to attract people. I feel pretty confident that we're going to do a pretty good job recruiting from some of the local townships to start into our process and remain with their current townships. But when we, you know, expand this to a more permanent schedule, I think that these wages will allow us to be competitive enough to get the staff that we need to do that. The other things that we took into account with that, we know that our current force, a lot of those guys work locally, and we've talked to them. We know what we need to offer them in order to get them to leave their current jobs and come join us on the force, which most of them, it's what they've wanted to do since they were little kids. So this is an opportunity for many of them to do that. And then finally, we also know that it is inevitable that this group will unionize. And by establishing the pay now at a space that we know the union will demand, it makes it a whole lot more easy to swallow, say, 3 years ago or 3 years from now when they say, okay, we want a contract and we want wages, but we're already within our comps. So we shouldn't have to make any massive budget jumps or amendments to our plan in order to continue the service once they unionize. So.
Very good. I would just have two more things, if that's all right.
Mm-hmm.
The first would be that I think we all kind of had the same idea with, you know, doing this in phases, because the phase one allows us the time to kind of finalize and kind of learn from these next few months what we want to do and what we want it to look like when we go to phase two. So I think that's very important to take into account. And then the second thing would just be that if I didn't make this already apparent, I would like to see this go tonight, unless there are any concerns that council has.
One of the things I also want to make sure, if there's any questions that we want to get on record, I'm more than happy to speak to any of this tonight so that, you know, the public knows that we a year and a half of planning has gone into this move just tonight. This spring we'll come back with a lot more legislation, but I want to make sure that any questions that you've heard or that you feel are important to get on the record or ask tonight, I'm here to do that.
Mr. Shank.
I don't know if it's more for you or Director Wheeler, Chief or Bishop, can you talk a little bit about how things have gone over the first 3 weeks, what they've been doing, and the response times?
I would defer to Chief Bishop on that, since he lives it on a day-to-day basis.
They've increased tremendously to the positive side, obviously, especially the daytime with three individuals working the shift, they're out the door in a minute, you know, even the evening shift now, it's, the times have increased. You know you're on. You've signed up for the shift, so it's worked out. You know, like we said last week, we're 3 weeks into it. It's well received, and it's, you know, we're actually posting the October signups right now, so it's going well.
Before this, this change, what would you say the average response time was for EMS?
Probably 8-9 minutes to get out the door.
So you're down to about one?
During the day. It's still probably an average 4 minutes, you know, counting the evening and the day. Yep.
Excellent.
Councilman Hamer? Oh, I don't have that for me, that power. Sorry.
You can see him, though.
Yeah. You only present once every 3 years, right?
So.
Could you speak a little bit to, we had a little bit of a conversation about this in the committee meeting, about morale and kind of the commitment and the retention portion of this. Maybe even Chief could speak to that a little bit.
You know, when we, and as Bill has mentioned, when we started this a year and a half ago, you know, we said we wanted to, with the three phases, the whole plan was to take baby steps with this. You got one chance to make it right. And number one, the goal was what's best for the citizens. Number two, what was best for the members. And I think that we're doing that, and the morale, it's like anything that where there's change. We've all seen that. And until this actually started, there was a lot of rumblings, this isn't going to work, this isn't. After they signed up, and after the first week, they changed immediately. Hey, this ain't too bad. This is pretty good. So the morale has obviously, after they've seen how it's going, Bill mentioned, you're signing up, you're picking your shifts, you get the pick when you're going to work. We started it out where, you know, we went through like you know, the guys that were making 90%, you know, they got first choice and then down the list. So the morale has, after this is run in operation, it's been excellent.
From a retention or attraction standpoint, the other piece too is, you know, right now we're recruiting volunteers. This will allow us to hire professionals. And not that we don't have professional employees, but it's not yet a professional organization because it's volunteer only. By doing this, Career Center students who study criminal justice, those kids that grew up wanting to be firefighters and EMS, and they lived in Orrville, don't have to leave town to do that. So I think that that's the other piece. By organizing this way, we're going to be able to start attracting and retaining those people here. There are Orrville people all over the country that left the city to go be full-time other places. And this is an opportunity for us to be here.
And I think it's important to piggyback on that. We have current EMTs and firefighters that their full-time job is EMTs and firefighters for other communities. Now there's an opportunity to potentially get them back, and I mean, these are skilled employees and people that love their community and love to provide that same service here, so that part's really neat. Yeah. As well,
after 3 weeks, we've already had one quit his job because this is what he wants to do, so I think that should be a really great thing.
Mr. Morrison.
I'm very much in support of the whole program and the three phases and whatnot. The question I have is it consistent with the charter to be able to approve this on one reading?
Can we confirm that we are not creating new classifications?
Correct. Okay. Yes. So when I come to you in the spring, at that point we will be creating new classifications that will be the permanent classifications that at least the EMS employees will be classified under. Whenever you create a new classification, it's not required to go three readings, but you can't do it on an emergency basis. So even if we were classifying, you could approve it tonight, but I couldn't put it into effect for 30 days. Still make it retro back to September 1st, but I couldn't make those moves. So this just allows us to move forward.
Thank you.
Mr. Moser.
Just a couple questions. One of them is, how does the future of this model that we're going towards, how does that affect the Board of Firefighters Association?
Great question, because that has been one of the issues, you know, that when we started this, because what has happened at other communities, and I've talked to their chiefs, when you hire people, they work at Doylestown for this shift, and then they get dealt that shift, and they go off to Norton, they work that shift, and then they come to Orville and work the shift. We want, and this is going back again to Phil, to create where they want to come here, and this is where they want to be, that they're not having to jump and go work three different places to make a buck. So the Orville Firefighters Association, which is so important to the community and what we do with 4th of July and everything else, continues. We want those people to buy into what we're doing. And we actually had this conversation at our meeting here last week that, somebody said, what about, and we said, when we hire these people in, we have to, this is what we do and this is what we want you to do, that, so that stuff continues. But that has been a major contention, that because we want that to continue too, what these people are coming on, keep doing what we're doing. So it's been a huge part.
So it sounds like they're going to pretty much work alongside with the city to continue the Fort of the Fire in the Sky. And
well, I think it's also important to point out that fire is still going to be responded to on a volunteer per call basis. That is not changing. So let's say you're a firefighter who's been here for 35 years and you say, I don't want to sign up for this EMS thing. Well, there's absolutely still a place for that person. Matter of fact, there's critical, if ever, if not more, because maybe you're just coming off a shift you just work and you can't come back in because you have to go home and sleep, or you have to go home and spend time with your family. Well, we're going to need them to come even more. So, the firefighter piece of this actually, I think, should be as renowned as it has always been.
Yeah, well, I think obviously what we got here is, obviously we have a really good fire department now. Obviously with our response times of 8 minutes out the door for volunteer time, it's great. We're happy about it. Obviously, I know that we've been meeting for about two or three years now. We kind of knew that this was coming, and two things would either A, be satisfied with what we have now, brag about how we have a great fire department that responds at 8 minutes, or we could take something that's good and make it even better. And I think that's what you guys did for all these meetings, is you guys made something better, cut those times in, in half, because now you're leaving from the fire department. I remember sitting in your office with another officer, saying, hey, someone responding straight from this building is going to be on the call on the scene quicker than someone coming from home. And we're so passionate about that 8 minutes because it was so good, and now we figure out a way of putting you guys' heads together to make that even better.
And that's the one thing too, and just to piggyback on, fires, car accidents, those are still all calls. Those are still, everybody's responding to those, because, a car wreck, we need, 10 people to operate in the squads and the rescue and doing all the different things. Fires, the same thing, so everybody is still involved in doing their stuff. And going since 2005, everybody has had to become an EMT. But before 2005, you could just be a fireman. Well, when we increased the EMS calls, then that's when we implemented, you're going to have to be an EMT. But there's still a handful that were grandfathered that are just running fire. They're signing up for the shifts now. We have a spot for them. They're driving with the EMS, the EMT's working in the back end. So that's how it, so everybody can be included in this, and that's the big thing. That's gone through, back to the morale. So everybody can be involved. Nobody is left out.
Right. Like I said, I definitely commend you guys as a group for making something that was good better. I know it's easy, with obviously that age and just to get stuck in this, the way we've always done things, and you guys definitely challenged each other and came out with something good. So I'm really happy, and I think at the end of the day, the citizens won, that hard work and all those meetings that you guys did.
The insurance rating for the community is impacted by the investments in the department, I think. Is that correct?
We're a class three, and we're just a few points away from a two, which is unheard of for what we have. The staffing is obviously going to help us. The equipment that you guys will buy us, all goes into the equation.
So members of the community could see a reduction in their insurance rates.
Thank you.
If there's no more questions, I just have one last thing I'd like to put on the record. We are hiring. So once this is passed and this isn't, like, this will create a permanent opening in the fire department. And by the end of the week, we'll have this up on the city's website where you can go and apply directly on the website. So.
Any questions or discussion? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
A lot of good input and a lot of good thought on this. Many, many meetings and many months and years even going into this decision. I move that the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Squirrel.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
I just have one quick question here. Did I understand that you said that you can't declare an emergency on this?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
If we were establishing new classifications,
okay,
it couldn't be an emergency. But because we're only altering the wages, we can make it an emergency.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Proceed.
I move resolution 3223 be adopted as read.
Second.
Mosley.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
Resolution 3323. I move this resolution be placed on first reading.
Second. Asparis.
Hamburg?
Yes.
Asparis?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
Larson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Resolution 3323. A resolution to make appropriations for current expenses and other expenditures of the City of Oroville, State of Ohio, during the fiscal year ending December 31st, 2023, and declaring an emergency.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is the change to final appropriations that we discussed at the committee meeting last Monday. An allocation was made for wages out of Fund 403, the EMS fund. This should cover those anticipated wages through year end. The balance right now is $361,000 in that fund, so it will certainly support these changes.
Any other questions or comments?
Is this a resolution that can be passed on one reading?
If you could, that would be good. Then we can make the changes to their pay scales right away.
Based on that, I move, unless there are other questions.
Not hearing any.
Okay. I move the rules, the rules, regulations, and statutes requiring the reading of a resolution on three separate days be suspended.
Second. Shanklin.
Asparis.
Yes.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Squirrel.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
I move resolution 3323 be adopted as read.
Second.
Squirrel.
Shanklin.
Yes.
Larson.
Yes.
Carr.
Yes.
Mosley.
Yes.
Squirrel.
Yes.
Hamburg.
Yes.
Asparis.
Yes.
Motion passes.
All right, that concludes our new business portion of the agenda. We'll move on to any comments for the good of the award. Mr. Morrison.
Thank you. I just wanted to express my condolences to the Ballantyne family and to the fire department. You know, Bob was a fantastic friend to everyone. He's just a great guy all around, and he'll be missed.
This is actually for CJ. A couple people have asked if, like, maybe on Google Maps or maybe even at the park to have signs like where the pickleball courts are or where the tennis courts are. And in the summer I was tutoring, and there were these grandparents who could not find the tennis courts whatsoever. And so somebody suggested, even like on Google Maps, you can pinpoint where the different fields are or whatever. Just so that people who are coming to visit can find it a little bit easier.
Okay.
Noted. Actually just had a conversation with Steve about some mapping and some different signage. So that's great input. Thank you.
Anyone else? Hearing none, we'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn, Mr. President.
Orson moves.
Second, Mr. President.
Mosley seconds.
Orson?
Yes.
Carr?
Yes.
Mosley?
Yes.
Squirrel?
Yes.
Hambrick?
Yes.
Asparagus?
Yes.
Shanklin?
Yes.
All eyes, motion passes.
The next regular meeting for Orville City Council will be October 2nd, 2023. And until then, we are adjourned. Thank you. Good night.
Hey, Sham, did you get that? Orville looking to steal local firemen. Full steam of Coke-filled, right?
That's a great headline.